Hello and welcome.
Hi.
8123 podcast.
Video.
Well, maybe not for everyone, but
but video
for us. We are looking at each other while we're doing. Yeah. Which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it easier.
Yeah.
Normally I'm faced this way and I'm looking at an organ I have over here, and I've gotten used to it now since we've done a few of these, but this was easier for sure.
Yes. Today is a special episode of the podcast because it's Your Okay Week, the 1 year anniversary of the record. So we kind of do a little bit of a deep dive back, thinking about the record 1 year later. And then towards the end, we'll call Jared and Ken and kind of get their take on a couple of questions that we got from the interwebs. And we didn't bother to call John because he is just got like a new speaker set up at his house, and I figure that maybe he's working on
our next album
and what could be like one of our greatest songs ever. So I don't want to call him and interrupt that for a podcast.
You didn't want to make him think about a year ago.
Yeah.
As he's in the moment.
Yeah.
Fucking living it up in the moment.
So that's about it. Thank you guys for the support over the past year, and you guys have embraced these songs and made them, like we talked about in the episode, you know, songs that will be in the set list forever. And that's all you could hope for when you're making an album. So, and I figure right now the message of the album and the title probably is more important to hear than ever.
Totally.
We'll
into it.
We'll hop into episode. But first, here is a message from a sponsor. So You're Okay has been out for 1 year. It's crazy. I feel like it's gone by insanely fast.
I was about to say the exact opposite.
Really?
Thinking back to a year ago seems like so long.
No.
So long. Yeah. Like the New York show?
Yeah.
Like very, very many years ago. I mean, it was a very busy year.
Yeah, yeah. We've done a lot, but I feel like people haven't had the album for all that long.
Yeah.
But yesterday when we did the playthrough, and I listened to the album in full for the first time in over a year.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's good. It's a really, really good album.
I was not surprised, because I remember like definitely feeling very that it was a strong album, but then not listening to it for more than a year, and then going back, I was like, fuck, like One Sunset is so good.
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me like the record, like everything kind of fits in a good spot, and the track listing is good. And
we showed Tim the album first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always have the classic after Forever Halloween, what he said. We always bring that up as like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember this was done after we showed it to him, and he was like just as pumped as he'd been with like the last few. But then he was like talking about how he felt like the record has legs. Like it's one of those ones, like a Forever Halloween, that later on, I think people are going to appreciate more as it sits.
Yeah.
And I just like going through all the Twitter, then just talking to people, that's kind of what it felt like. Where like, a lot of people are like, oh my God, I love this song. All right, well, when are you going to play this song? And yeah, so I feel like there's going to be, you know, in 3 years, this could be potentially one of those records that has a lot of people calling their favorites.
Yeah. I look back on kind of where our headspace was going into it, and you know, we definitely, I don't think we felt all that prepared. We felt
usual for us though.
No, but we felt like we barely had enough songs to make the album. A bunch of them didn't have
melodies,
any vocals on them or anything, and and then songs became things that we couldn't have even imagined, you know.
For this record, I think it goes but both ways on that, where like something like None Without You, if you listen to the demo and then you listen to the record, like
that's the exact same. Yeah,
you know, there's not much different. But then, I mean, when was the last time we were in the studio and made like Broken Parts or One Sunset? Like, we just didn't have enough songs, so we sat there and we're like, on One Sunset, it was like someone said Modest Mouse, and then someone said like, what would Johnny Marr play?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jared just started playing this riff, and then it
made a whole song.
It's fast as possible, like just super quick, and yeah. Like the end of the song, how it kind of the bridge goes into the last chorus, that's something that we've tried to do for as long as we've been a band. Like that, we always say like, oh, like the Killers will like end on like some big epic thing. Whenever we've tried to do it, we just never have done it right.
Yeah,
and I feel like that song, with just like needing to finish a song, it kind of just throwing things together, bare bones, and just kind of like throwing shit at the wall, that's how that ending of that song kind of came together. And you know, not trying to do that, we ended up doing this thing we've tried to do forever.
Yeah. And you know, I think looking back at it a year later, you know, I think the hope is with any album, obviously you want the entire album to like stick and people to appreciate it for a long time to come, which is something that's kind of out of your control. And you don't really know how that's going to shake out for a while. But I think you always just really hope that there's a couple songs that you know are going to be in the set forever.
Totally.
And None Without You 100% is like the best song we have to play in a show right now, which yeah. is like always the goal is like, hey, how can we make, you know, before it was like probably Am I Pretty or her Diet Soda or something, and then we beat that with Bad Behavior and Black Butterflies, and then again None Without You, even with the, you know, because there is kind of the like nostalgia factor of like those older songs, but yeah. when a new one can come in and just feel, I mean,
yeah,
when we go into None Without You and the chorus, the first chorus drops out, it's mind-blowing every single time.
Yeah,
every single time.
Yeah, and it's such a you know, no brainer trick, but we never have done that. Like the down mm-hmm. chorus like that going, and then going into it, like it just you need to sing it, you know what yeah. I mean? Like like even if you kind of know the song, you're gonna be like,
yeah,
yeah, it's just built for it. Like we always talk about when we're making a record, like when we're actually making the album, you're working on so many songs, it's like, okay, it's what you're saying, but you know, okay, now we have to beat that one, because that one's going to be on the album, but you want to beat that one. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of what you're saying with the live stuff. Not every record you get that, though.
Yeah, no.
Not like, I don't know, like Black and White. There's not like a have-to-play song on that yeah. record for us.
But now, like something maybe like, Right Girl, if whatever, you know, but...
Yeah, if we're... Yeah. But... even that, we don't do it all the time. But,
yeah.
But Am I Pretty? I mean, since we've played that song, I don't think that one's left the set.
No.
But that's what you're saying. Yeah, None Without You is that for this record, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's something I'm very happy with. And, you know, there's other, you know, songs, I think, like Slip the Noose will be in the set for a long time. And, you know, a song like Heaven, something really adds a different feel that we don't have in other songs. And it's just like that. That's kind of what you're hoping is to, like,
yeah,
do we make an album that bettered the catalog of what we can do as a show, you know? And, you know, even like Flowers on the Grave, which, like, you know, I don't think we'll end every show with it, because, you know, we have other songs that are great enders too. But whenever we want to do that thing, that trick, we've got it now. Like, we have that feeling.
I kept thinking about, as I was listening to it last night during the chat, I was like, how cool is it going to be when, you know, we don't play it for a while, and then we just decide some random Chicago show, we're like, fuck it, let's play it tonight. Something so cool. And, like, for people who know that song, that's going to be something important for them. Like, I think of, like, Jimmy World, Goodbye Sky Harbor. When they go and do that and end the set, like, that would be something I would love to see. They're not going to do it all the time, so that will be like a special song, or like something like a Mars will be more of a typical ending kind of like thing, which people, you know, would be happy about. But yeah, doing something like Flowers will be cool to throw in just randomly. And then when we get on our Rebel stage again, like, and we play some festival, we'll open with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was thinking about that as the song was playing. I was like, could this song go anywhere else in a set?
And we could open with it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you could put it somewhere else. You could put it in the middle. It would, you know, it would definitely take people to a different spot in their mind, and it might be hard to get them to come back around.
You can do, like, maybe you do that, and then you go into like a chill part of a set where you do like four like
strip, yeah,
and like kind of give people a moment, and then you come back with, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that would be an option is, like, you could open with like half of it up until the bridge, and then you could come back and end with, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of a great idea.
So.
Hey, Monica.
What's up, Monica? Cool. Yeah, I figure let's call some of the guys. We're going to take some questions from people on Twitter now. The first one is, what were the best moments and what were the worst moments during the writing process?
During the writing process, I think basically one of the things that we did that helped and hurt a couple of times, both like back and forth, was having such strict criteria on how we wanted the songs to go, like having the strings involved and having things like that. I think I'm trying to remember a specific instance when that occurred, but just like trying to make the songs fit all together was a little bit of a challenge. I remember a few times after we had like things like Numb and we had the ideas for Slip the Noose kind of going, which were kind of like at the front, a moment where that occurred, but
yeah, I mean, there was definitely a lot of stuff, of ideas that maybe sounded similar to something that we would have done on American Candy or A Little Lonely, that was just it just didn't feel like exciting. So yeah.
Right.
That was hard to like feel like we had to find something that was so different than we had ever done before.
Yeah.
Totally.
I remember Slip the Noose, we finished I think first even. Because we knew we all liked that and it was a leftover kind of, and we've talked about it a bunch, but the Black Butterflies part of
right.
that. And that was like one of the first things we did. And I remember finishing that and all of us being like, okay, well, that bar is pretty high. Like, it's going to be tough to beat that.
Yeah.
That was a good thing.
Exactly. That's kind of what I meant by like both, like, just having the songs be a certain style. Like when we finished that one, I was like, man, this is so cool. This is in a new direction. It like, it feels so exciting. And then I was like, well, shit, what else do we have that's in that lane? You know, like, and so I think at the initial stages, that was just a challenge. I think like Numb came pretty close after that. And that's when I started feeling like, okay, we have a lot of different things that like fit in this new kind of style.
Yeah, for sure. All right. And then the next question is, were there any other contenders as the first, single from the album, or was it always Numb?
Habit, My Best Habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Best Habit.
We went through that. That was a difficult decision. Because you were definitely, Pat, you were definitely a Habit guy.
I mean, I was kind of going
you a feel it
back
all over?
And forth. I was
that one up there for you?
Yeah, for a bit, yeah. I mean, it was kind of like we always get down to like two songs, yeah. And then it's just like, I don't know, either way is could be yeah. good or bad.
Yeah, and we spend like a couple, like, yeah, we spend all that time talking about why each one could be better than the other, and then we leave ourselves nowhere closer. Usually it's just like, we got to pick one.
Yeah. I mean, and I think our booking agent helped with that a little bit. Mike Marquis was like, it's your seventh album. Like, I know Numb's a little crazy, but you got to like, throw it on his ass and
totally. Yeah, I remember that. Exactly. True. We're like, all right, let's phone a friend. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly.
This is a good one. What is your least favorite song on the album?
Oh boy, least favorite song.
Which is a it's a hard thing because you like don't want to offend anybody that's their favorite song and give them a bad taste. But, you know, we're answering the hard-hitting questions on the podcast.
I mean, dude, that's tough because, I mean, we still haven't played, what, two of them live at least?
Mm-hmm. We haven't played I Feel
It All Over and One Sunset. So, I mean, just for, this is hard. I'd say maybe Feel It All Over. I don't really have a good reason. I really don't have a good reason. If I have to pick one, like, like, why?
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, if I had to... This is like, okay, so you have all your friends in one row and you have to just eliminate one of them. Like, I'd have to just choose the one who I haven't seen in a while, right? Like, I have...
you have to pick me, right?
I don't know. I don't think I'd pick you.
am I picking too? I already know.
Sure, yeah, you can do it.
I'm going Forevermore.
Okay.
Wow.
Right, sorry, bud.
Just why? Boring or what?
No, it's just there's nothing. It's you know, it's just an acoustic.
Honestly, would have been better with some drums.
It would have been sick with drums. No bass.
Everything though. Would be better with drums and bass on it.
No, actually, no did you guys see that Travis Barker added drums to an acoustic Blink song the other day? He posted a video. He's bored. There's acoustic song. He just added some drums to it in his house. I might do the same thing to.
I was gonna say it's never too late. If you're really bored right now, you can just go in and throw drums on everything.
I think you're like insane on it too. Like two drum parts.
Like, let's be real. He probably overplayed a little bit.
No, he was actually, it was very simple.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like we need to pull it up now.
All right.
What song almost didn't make it on the album? Guess that would be Broken Parts. It was probably the closest. Right?
Broken Parts was a real, real struggle. It was like, I feel like we got really close to finishing that one a couple times, and we were just like, we get hung up on, like, is this good enough, or do we need a better vocal melody, or I think the actual vibe just, like, wasn't there. It didn't come together till like, the very, very last minute.
Yeah, that one was a close no-go.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of hard to find the balance between the electronic things and then making it feel like a band at the same time, and it was like we always were taking it one step too far in
both ways.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, and then
trying to think of the turning point, like what we changed to make it. I don't remember.
I think we went back to an earlier version of it, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh, like. What were we thinking by overthinking it and trying to add all this stuff on it?
Wasn't it the riff that kind of reminded all of us of U2? That, like, there was... I remember there was a point... Verse? Yeah, there was that point, like... Well, it's in the refrain, right? It's in the refrain of the chorus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the bend. Yeah. And it was like... we were kind of like... Not lost, but we just didn't have like a reference. It was so funny that we ended up busting out U2 as a reference because it ended up like it is that part, but it's not like the song isn't really that at all. Mm-hmm. But it kind of, I remember it kind of pushed us through in that way where we were just, it was just one of those things where you're stuck, you're like banging your head against the wall and you need that one, like something to happen. And then I think.
Well, and then when we actually put the real strings on it, I think having that real element. Changed it too.
Yeah,
like I totally went from like very electronic-y to having that natural feel.
It's
the first thing you hear too.
I think that was also the big change, because originally the intro was a guitar riff and it like felt like a pop song.
It was like a modern pop song. Sean Mendes tune.
Yeah.
For some one of those, like, kind of like, it was totally not our what we would do to start a song.
Yeah, and then once we added that in, because I remember using like the Coldplay album Vita La Vida or whatever as like a reference for that intro.
Yeah, because that was kind of where they blended. They were doing strings and stuff on that, and they were doing like, we were like, oh, how do you pull that off? How do you make that work?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Coldplay, man.
Coldplay. Coldplay, U2, aim big, you know?
Yeah. And Travis Barker playing over an acoustic song. Yeah. All the references. It's good.
I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah, I'll send you a link when we get off this.
Yeah, just blast it out in the group text.
Cool. Sweet.
All right.
Thanks.
Cool. Glad to see you guys are alive, man. Thanks for having me.
Rocking out over here, man.
All right. Toodles.
Later.
Bye.
Thank you guys for listening to the 8123 podcast. You are okay edition. We'll be back in a couple days with a new episode.